It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new study suggests that researchers in the past have underestimated the risk for developing dementia. And by 2060, about 1 million Americans a year will develop the disease.
The increase is primarily due to an aging population in the U.S. The study published in Nature Medicine found that adults over 55 had a 42% lifetime risk of developing dementia.
To talk about these findings in dementia research and care, we turn to Dr. Nathaniel Chin, a geriatrician, memory clinic doctor, and medical director for the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Disease Research Center at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, and host of the Dementia Matters podcast. Dr. Chin, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Well, thank you for having me.
The study recently published in the journal Nature Medicine, it shows this really sobering, significant increase in the risk of developing dementia. Of course, that being an umbrella term as it is, what part of the study surprised you?
And sobering is the right word. I think the final result is what really caught a lot of us off guard. I mean, in the end, they said that by 2060, every year, they expect 1 million new cases of dementia, whereas currently, we think there's about 500,000 new cases of dementia every year.
Why such a steep increase in what we thought there was?
Well, the study was done slightly differently than the studies that kind of led to that prior number. And so this publication, they used data from what's called the ERIC study. You know, everything we do in science is an acronym. And so ERIC, A-R-I-C, stands for Atherosclerosis Risk in Communities. And it is a very well-known, respected study. It's been going on for decades. And then what they're known for is being geographically diverse. So it's actually four communities from Minnesota, North Carolina, Mississippi, and Maryland. But they're also socioeconomically diverse participants as well as racially diverse. And the researchers, they follow these communities, these participants. They have them come in for visits, but they also call them and check in on them. And then they follow their records. They check in on their health records. And so they have reported that they followed them so closely and they did such digging in their telephone encounters. They believe they collected better data when it comes to determining dementia, that their information is truly more reflective of the true incidence or the true accuracy of those who develop dementia. And then it's truly reflective of our U.S. population, that being so diverse as far as geographics, the socioeconomics, and the race, that these numbers just are just more reflective of what's actually happening.
What is striking as well is the elevated risk for Black Americans in particular. What did you find there?
Well, we have known that certain communities of color, particularly African American, Hispanic, Latino, Native American, they're at higher risk of developing Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia. And this study really reflected that African Americans were at this higher risk. They actually said almost triple as you get older, that these communities were more likely to develop dementia. And so it just reinforces that there are other factors here that are contributing to dementia. And that this is really what they called a public health wake-up call, that we really need to be looking at these social determinants of health. What are these factors that are so affecting these communities that are leading to this outcome of dementia? Because what can we do to address them?
I think about how Wisconsin is an aging state, and that also speaks to what is happening here in the study. As you age, there are these more instances of dementia. What do you see as the big challenges ahead for Wisconsin families and the state in caring for the future population of dementia patients?
Yeah, I think it's pretty scary, because I think this is going to affect us in so many ways and in ways that we haven't really thought of. But if there's so many more people developing dementia, you know, at a family level, that means it affects our nuclear family, it affects our extended family. And so are our children, our grandchildren, our friends and neighbors, are they prepared to help care for loved ones and friends and to keep them at home, or to just even provide just, you know, some services? Are our communities prepared to help provide some of those services? Are the healthcare services ready for this? Primary care, specialty care, physical therapy, occupational therapy? Is urgent care, emergency care, the hospital, are we prepared? We know that those living with cognitive impairment require more help. And so are those places prepared for this? We do not currently have enough assisted living and skilled facilities. Are we ready to build more of those places, transitional care? We don't have the current staff to help provide this level of assisted care. So are we prepared for the workforce? What about the social services? What about our county services? What about our social workers, even elder law attorneys? What about those individuals? You know, we just don't have the abilities right now. And so just from a societal level, there's going to be this felt impact. And I'm not even talking about the economic impact of that and the cost, not only for the individuals, but for the family members who are now not going to be doing their jobs because they're going to be helping their loved ones. And so there's that opportunity cost. And so that's why I think a lot of the people, healthcare providers and policymakers, they saw the study and they said, well, we really have to make structural changes if we really want to curb this, if we really want to address this. It really does affect our society, our culture. And so in order to address it, it can't just be done at the clinic level. It has to be more upstream than that.
And as people look around their own families, they want to know, what are the, you know, risk factors? What can be done in the way of prevention? What are some of your insights?
Well, this is where things are more optimistic and more exciting. And I think, you know, we love talking about brain health. Unfortunately, this is a more positive spin when it comes to cognition and function. So in 2024, the Lancet Commission, so this is a group of experts that really dig into the scientific literature, and they even do some of their own analysis of the data, and they come out with a report. And this most recent report said that up to 45% of cases of dementia are potentially preventable, meaning there are modifiable factors that if we addressed everything, we could actually have prevented that case of dementia. And they listed 14 factors that if we addressed them, that could have prevented or delayed dementia. I'll just list them for you. And if any of them pique your interest, I'm happy to speak to some of them. I'm not an expert in any of them, Kate, but I'm happy to at least speak to some of them. Reducing diabetes, managing cholesterol, minimizing hypertension, not smoking, reducing obesity, reducing air pollution, preventing head injuries, preventing or treating depression, physical activity, minimizing alcohol, higher education, or at least keeping your brain stimulated, preventing and addressing hearing loss, addressing visual loss, and increasing your social engagement. So those are the 14 factors.
It seems those factors really contribute to overall health as well. I mean, we're working to lower our cholesterol. We're working, to try to prevent diabetes. And, it sounds as if all of this can really have so many impacts on other areas of health as well.
That's the beauty of it. And I think that's what our patients really enjoy, is that you address these factors, you're improving your quality of life, you're improving your well-being, you're improving your day-to-day function. And so, yes, you can still do these things and potentially develop thinking symptoms, but you might still feel better and in other areas of your life. And they do talk about in the Lancet Commission, you know, there are different mechanisms or different, you know, ways that this might be actually helping you in preventing dementia. It could be addressing blood vessel disease, which is a common factor. It could be reducing stress and inflammation, or it could actually be building your cognitive reserve, this idea that you're kind of building this buffer in your brain. And so even with changes in the brain, like Alzheimer's changes, it just, your brain kind of pushes back and says you can handle more of those changes by having all of these factors that are going in your favor. And so, these are always, these lifestyle interventions are positive. And I think people really, when they start engaging in them, they really do enjoy it. And so we need to invest more in these types of factors as a society and certainly in healthcare.
We're discussing new developments in dementia and risk of developing the disease with Dr. Nate Shin, medical director for the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Disease Research Center at UW School of Medicine and Public Health, and host of the podcast Dementia Matters. Dr. Chin, less than a year ago, the Alzheimer's Association called on physicians diagnosing the condition to rely on biomarkers instead of leaning into cognitive tests. And this is somewhat of a debated topic here, and I want to get to that. But first, can you explain how diagnosis could change under this new guidance?
Yeah, so you're right. It's a bit of a spicy topic, and it's still being debated. The reason, so your question is, how is the diagnosis happen? And I think it's hard to tease those apart because it's so central. One line of thought is that the diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease is clinical, meaning you diagnose symptoms and you really gear it towards the type of symptoms that a person has. Another, meaning memory specific, because we traditionally think of Alzheimer's disease as affecting a person's memory. Another line of thinking is that Alzheimer's disease is a biological process that occurs in the brain, and it ultimately leads to symptoms, with memory being a predominant symptom. And so in both situations, though, the field believes biomarkers have a place. It's just a matter of where that place is. And they do debate, what is the primary cause of Alzheimer's disease. And so a lot of it is still up in the air. And the Alzheimer's Association and the scientists that were on that board, they've sort of put their stake in the ground, their flag in the ground, and said, well, we think it's this. And we believe it's based on this research. And that just created a lot of academic debate and scientific debate, which persists.
And researchers have recently identified a new type of dementia. It goes by the acronym LATE. How might this new dementia be different from other forms, such as Alzheimer's?
Yeah, so LATE, again, an acronym. So limbic, predominant, age-related, TDP-43 encephalopathy. And I'm only going to call it LATE going forward, Kate. It is a different set of proteins that are building up in the brain, actually in a very similar place to where Alzheimer's starts. So in the memory center. And it's this different protein. It actually causes memory loss, but it tends to happen pretty late in life. So in your late 70s, 80s, 90s, it only really causes memory loss, and it's very slow. And traditionally, we've thought of that clinically as Alzheimer's disease. We didn't know any better. But it was recently discovered in 2019. Oh, it's a different protein. It's again because people donated their brains, we could discover this. And so just recently, the group of experts looking at this came out with clinical guidelines. And we now understand, oh, there are actually different processes happening in the brain that might mimic Alzheimer's disease or other conditions. And frankly, there's more often than not, it's multiple diseases in the brain that are causing people to have symptoms. The idea of pure disease, meaning one disease causing a person's thinking changes, especially older people, is really less common. And so what's called mixed disease or mixed dementia is actually more common. And that's a really important finding. And in fact, UW is the lead of an important study called Clarity, which is really looking at this idea of mixed disease. And this is a national study of 36 or 37 centers across the country where we are trying to understand how common is mixed disease, what does that look like, how do we best study it, what are the implications of it. And LATE is one of those conditions, but other diseases, as our listeners probably know, Lewy body disease, Parkinson's disease, but even vascular disease, we really have to account for all of these things as we are trying to diagnose our loved ones, as well as then care for them, because that will impact what their disease course looks like.
Dr. Chin, this seems as if a really fast-moving, exciting time for researchers in this area. It can also be a real scary time for families dealing with Alzheimer's. You know, going forward, do you think that we will be able to get closer to a cure? What might that look like someday?
You know, we always hope for a cure. And I think the first thing we need to do is understand what's actually happening. And that's where I think things are really moving quickly. This idea of biomarkers is our gateway to that. We need to understand what's happening. And so I think that is, we're in that time period now. We're really good at that, I think, with Alzheimer's disease, with these biomarkers. We are getting there with late, and it's sort of a sister condition called frontal temporal disease. I feel like we're getting there with Lewy body disease and its sister condition called Parkinson's disease. You know, I think the scientists are working on better ways of characterizing and identifying vascular disease in the brain. So once we have that, that's when you are able to develop interventions to really stop the progression of those diseases and then ultimately prevent them. And prevention or cure is really what we're going for. And so is it possible? I hope so. You know, it seems like it's a little bit farther away than, of course, we'd like it to be. In the Alzheimer's space, I think it's closer, actually, than some of those other spaces because we're closer in the biomarker space. I think right now, though, the focus really is on how do we slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease. And I think we're getting better and better at developing, or in the clinical trial space, developing drugs that can slow the progression. I think our care research is really expanding. How can we find ways of providing better care, supporting caregivers, really enhancing the quality of life of people who are living with these changes, especially those with mild cognitive impairment, where they're incredibly functional, incredibly capable, but they know that they're having changes. And so I think there's a lot of great research happening in many different areas, and really looking at the different mechanisms. And that's the other thing I wanted to emphasize. There's a lot of focus on these biomarkers of amyloid and tau, but there's also great research looking at inflammation, these little powerhouse cells of mitochondria in the brain. There's just different ways of looking at the processes, and we need to do that too. And so not to overlook that there's probably lots of things happening in the brain, and we have lots of scientists looking at it too. And so we just have to keep doing it. And I know that my patients and my neighbors are always saying, well, why is it taking so long? It's not an easy process. And fortunately, we have a lot of people looking at it, but it still takes time. But I think we've actually made huge strides in the past decade.
Wonderful. Dr. Chin, thank you for these insights, and absolutely fascinating. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I love being able to share that with our community.
Dr. Nathaniel Chin is a geriatrician, memory clinic doctor, and medical director for the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Disease Research Center at UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He talked with us about a new study that found dementia cases in the U.S. will surge in the coming decades.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, the Great Lakes have been swarmed with quadrillions of invasive quagga mussels. A new documentary series looks at the impact on some of Wisconsin's favorite fish.
Whitefish just don't seem to be growing up, and there's a lot of reasons we think that might be happening, and most of them point back toward the mussels.
Meet the makers of All Too Clear, coming up next on WPR News.